All right. Callahan and Torrey back here for the last 45 minutes of this week in pro football before Temple football.
Temple taking on Memphis today.
Temple playing Memphis down at the link today, right? Nice
yes.
day to see a lot of Temple fans get out there for one of their arch rivals. Am
yeah.
I right, Joey?
Historical rivalry between Temple
That's
and Memphis.
Right. All right. All right, well, we always start the 11 o'clock hour. Later on, we got the picks, which nobody really even wants to hear, but we're going to do it anyway because it's sponsored. This guy is sponsored, too, presented by First Bank, the host of the NFL Matchup Show and the author of Philly Special, Sal Palantonio. Good morning, Sal.
Hey, Pat. Hey, Joe. What's going on this week in pro football, week 6? What's happening?
Well, we have to bend the rule. We're going to stick with the game. We're not going to bend the rules too much here, but we have been talking about the fact the start of this three-game road trip and six-game crucible here for Philadelphia. But it's a pretty fascinating matchup tomorrow, Sal. And let me start you up with this one. Carson Wentz now has gone 4 straight games with a completion percentage under 60%. Do you put any or ascribe any importance to that kind of statistic?
Pat, first of all, it's your show, so I will allow you to bend the rules once in a while.
Appreciate it, Sal. Thank you.
No, it's no problem at all. No problem at all. No, listen, it is a tough three-game stretch, and we have to definitely focus on the offense. And certainly, Carson Wentz needs to pick up certain aspects of his game. But the Eagles lead the NFL with 12 drops. That's a significant factor when you look at what Carson Wentz has done, especially when it comes to his completion percentage. If they hold on to the ball in Atlanta, they win. If they hold on to the ball against the Detroit Lions, they win. And they're 5-0, and we're talking about them being, you know, top-ranked team in the NFC. So that is the bottom line for me. Hold on to the ball, don't fumble the ball, and you are 5-0. No matter how well Carson Wentz plays. And, you know, I'm not going to make excuses or any rationales for Carson Wentz. And he would be upset if I did. And I know him very, very well. But he is coming back from 2 major injuries. He's walking into a week 6 crucible of 3 games on the road. And he understands what's at stake, right? So the bottom line is this. You paid $100 million. You get rid of Nick Foles, and you're anticipating that he's going to be able to win games like this. If Foles, a backup quarterback, can go into U.S. Bank Stadium and beat Belichick and Brady in Super Bowl 52, then Carson Wentz ought to be able to go into U.S. Bank Stadium and beat the Vikings and Kirk stinking Cousins. Yes or no?
I mean, that sounds exactly like what you paid the guy to do, Sal. Now, you alluded to it. This has turned into, you know, a mini rivalry in a very short period of time here, whether it's fan-driven or team-driven or what have you. Is familiarity starting to breed contempt here a little bit? And do you sense anything extra coming into this game from either side?
I know. They got their feelings hurt when they came to the link in the NFC Championship game. I don't understand the whole, you know, you're going to come into a hostile environment like that in the NFC Championship game. Here's a news bulletin for the rest of the fans in the NFL. You're going to get your feelings hurt when you come to Philadelphia. That's basically part of the manual, right?
Yeah, well, it just comes off if you don't come over. If you don't expect it, Sal, it's just like, hey, we're not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy. Like, that's like the impression that you get. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's page one of the instruction manual. Your feelings will be hurt, and, you know, hopefully you'll get out of town with only that damage. So I understand where they're coming from that aspect of it. They're not used to it. Okay, but guess what's coming? You know, Philadelphia Eagles fans who are listening to this show right now on their way to Philadelphia International Airport to get on a American Airlines flight or a Delta flight to Minneapolis to see the Eagles play in the stadium where they won Super Bowl 52. That place is going to be a hostile environment for Vikings fans again Sunday, tomorrow. I guarantee it. There'll be a lot of Eagles fans there. A lot.
Yeah, the Eagles, boy, Eagle fans do travel well. You're right, Sal.
Oh, they're the best. They are the best. The best in the country. They bring, first of all, and here's the funniest thing, you know, and I've traveled a lot of places with Eagles fans. The bartenders and the waitresses love Eagles fans because when they come out, they roll out the dough, they tip large, and they have a lot of fun, and they're just there to have fun and watch football. And I'm telling you, I saw in Atlanta this week two. I saw in Atlanta downtown. I'm like, yeah, Eagles fans, welcome downtown Atlanta. It's amazing, Pat. Amazing.
Yes, Sal, one of the things I put on the agenda for this week was the toughest division in football. Just give me your thoughts on Minnesota and that NFC North. I mean, is Minnesota really a top-level NFC contender, or are they just one of those teams that's going to end up 8-8 in the NFC North?
Well, I looked at their schedule. Their schedule's not that hard. After this game, it's not that tough. You know, but it is extremely competitive. I think Matt Patricia's addition in Detroit has made that. And I think I texted you last night. One of the things that you have to watch that's happening, especially in the NFC, Pat, is that teams are going to play man-to-man a lot more. You see it with Mike Pettine. You see it with Matt Patricia. Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator at Green Bay. You don't see it that much with Mike Zimmer. But you're going to see it more and more often. And there's a very specific reason for that, and that is because the ball is coming out of the quarterback's hands so quick that you have to have DBs up on the line of scrimmage disrupting the wide receiver's routes, or stuff is going to get completed real quick. Everybody's going man-to-man. You need man-to-man beaters, and that's one of the issues that the Eagles face, right? You asked me, going back, dovetailing back to your original question, Pat, about Carson Wentz. Other than Deshaun, they don't have a man-to-man beater on that team. I mean, Alshon with his height and his length and his reach, certainly a little bit. But Zach Ertz is not a true man-to-man beater. He's not.
Speaking with Sal Palantonio here on This Week in Pro Football. Sal, we were talking earlier about the backup quarterbacks having success in the NFL to date at this point. Obviously, there's a shining example here in Philadelphia with Nick Foles stepping in, winning the Super Bowl. But with Gardner Minshew having success, with Teddy Bridgewater having success, is having your starting quarterback out nowadays, like looking at this weekend, for example, is it something to worry about as much as it was in the past? Or are these guys just seemingly ready to compete this week?
Joe, I think you have to take it on a case-by-case basis. Nick Foles, he was coached up by three really great coaches in Doug Peterson, John DeFilippo, and Frank Reich. That kind of perfect storm is going to be very, very difficult to duplicate. In fact, it's never happened before in NFL history. Gardner Minshew, he's got Leonard Fournette, who's revitalized, and that has helped him quite a bit. But he's going to come back down to earth. As far as Teddy Bridgewater goes, back to the coaching aspect of it. I mean, there is no better play designer in the league, and that includes the beloved Sean McVay out in L.A., than Sean Payton. He is the best play designer and coach. He can coach it up real quick, and he has turned Teddy Bridgewater from a disaster into a dynamo in short order. On the matchup show this weekend, Matt Bowen, my partner's got a great, great breakdown of Teddy Bridgewater. You know, he's wearing gloves on both of his hands, and he still has that funky delivery. Yeah. But when you see the design that Sean Payton has set up for him, it's a no-lose situation for Teddy Bridgewater. You know, it comes down to coaching and what do you have around you, Joe?
Yeah. But what we were talking about earlier in the show, Sal, but now we're into quarterbacks again, as usual, was that, teams get stuck now, and like the Rams said it there. They wrote a giant check to Goff. The Eagles did it again with Carson, and most teams are doing it. Cowboys face it now with Dak. But will Jerry Jones look at a Teddy Bridgewater? Will he look at a Kyle Allen in Carolina and maybe say, you know what, I don't know if I want to do this because, you know, there's so many other spots. I was talking earlier about offensive lines and how there's so many of them are so porous. You know, is it still a given that you're going to write a big check to a quarterback in the NFL?
Well, Pat, I think, again, you have to go on a case-by-case basis. So let's talk about Dak Prescott and Jerry Jones. You see Dak Prescott in commercials all of the time.
Right.
He takes eyeballs. You know, he is a guy who attracts eyeballs on social media and in advertising. He is a marketer's dream. And, you know, Jerry Jones understands that in the long term, it's not Amari Cooper. It's not the linebackers that they have there. It's not Ezekiel Elliott. It's not Jason Witten. It's certainly not Jason Garrett. It's Dak Prescott, who's the future that they can build around, not only from a team standpoint, but from a marketing standpoint. And anybody who's been to the Star down there, their practice facility, knows what I'm talking about. That place just prints money. Same with AT&T Stadium. It prints money. And you have to have a big bankable star, and they're going to pay Dak Prescott accordingly.
Yeah. Sal, we've been looking across the NFC in particular because it is so wide open. Pat laid out as many as 12 teams that are potential contenders, or at least not out of it yet at this point. And San Francisco is one of those teams that's kind of been flying under the radar. What did you make of their kind of coming out party on national TV and kind of beating up on the Cleveland Browns?
Well, Cleveland is just not ready to compete at that level on the road in a primetime situation. So I think San Francisco would have had a little bit tougher time with another team. The big thing about San Francisco, Joe, is they lost their fullback, Kyle Juszczyk. You know, most of their running offense is out of 21 personnel, two backs, and one tight end. And now without Juszczyk, they're going to have a problem running the kind of running game that has been the foundation of what they do. They're the number one running game. Same thing with the Los Angeles Rams. We just don't know what's going on with Todd Gurley. And Jared Goff has been asked to drop back 120 times in the last two games. If you would ask a young quarterback, I don't care who he is, to drop back an average of 60 times per game, it's not sustainable. And the result, notwithstanding a missed field goal, the result is you lose two games in a row. And you had every opportunity to roll that back. And I think Sean McVay got the message loud and clear that when you have young quarterbacks like Jared Goff or Jimmy Garoppolo or Carson Wentz, you need to have a complementary running game, or a Gardner Minshew or Teddy Bridgewater. It doesn't really matter what it is. If you got the guy dropping back 60 times a game, it's a formula for a loss.
Well, it certainly is. And that's exactly what did happen. I'm worried about that game tomorrow. That's there's a number of big games. I was talking with Joey earlier about in the NFC, you know, that could come back to haunt you at the end of the season when the tiebreakers get lined up. Another, Sal, is on the flagship Monday night. Are you drinking any of the Detroit Lion Kool-Aid as they go into Green Bay to play a Packer team coming off one of its best regular season games in years?
Well, I would argue this. I would argue that Detroit's defense is better than the Eagles. And if the Eagles can go into Lambeau on prime time and beat the Packers, then the Lions certainly can. And they've got a big, big wide receiver, a 6'4 wide receiver who can really go up and get it and challenge that weak secondary of the Packers. So I do believe that the Lions can do something that they haven't done in a long time, and that is win in Lambeau in prime time. They have better coaching, a better scheme. Their personnel is dialed in now to what Matt Patricia wants to do year two. And I go back to this, and I'm going to say this again. People need to focus on what's happening in the league defensively. There is a trend going on. And it started early on by Bill Belichick, of all people. He man-to-man defense with multiple fronts and stopped the wide receivers at the line of scrimmage, interrupt their routes. Patricia's doing it in Detroit. Romeo Crennel Moore in Houston. Patton's doing it in Green Bay. Over and over, you go around the league. That's what's happening. And if you don't have, you saw it with the Colts against the Chiefs, man-to-man on the line of scrimmage. And you need a man-to-man beater. And the Detroit Lions have one in that big wide receiver that they have.
Yeah. That's going to be a very interesting game. I tell you, week to week, Sal, I don't think you can pin down what's going on in the NFC, which is why I want to get to the top five here. Brought to us by Gleason's Bar in Levittown, Bucks County. Located on Mill Creek Road, right up the street from Truman High, Gleason's is under new ownership, and our buddy Pat McConney has big plans on the horizon. Stop by Monday through Friday for happy hour specials and pregame Sunday with a bacon Bloody Mary. Check out the new TVs. All right, that's Gleason's Bar in Levittown, Bucks County. The top five this week, going back to old school here, just name me a top five, but only NFC. Your NFC top five right now. I'll go first because I'm the oldest here, and that would be I'm going to go Philadelphia 5. I know that sounds harsh. I like them better than that. But I'm just saying right now I'd have the Eagles 5, Seattle 4. I really like the Seahawks. Wilson is an MVP contender right now. I got the 49ers probably too high at 3. But they are playing that good right now, even though what Sal just said does temper the fact. I got Green Bay 2, and I have New Orleans number 1 in the NFC. What they've done with that breeze, you cannot ignore it. All right, Joey, how about you?
Not far off of what I have. I have the Rams at 5, still in the NFC. I just like them a little bit more than Seattle for whatever reason. I have the Eagles at 4, and then my 3-2-1 are the same as yours, San Francisco, Green Bay, and New Orleans.
All right, Sal, tell us we're wrong.
Joe, I think my phone went out because I think Pat left out the Rams in the top 5.
Yeah, something went wrong there.
I did leave them out. I think they're going to lose tomorrow, Sal.
Did I drop self-service there?
No. Your service is still good, pal. No, I think they're going to lose tomorrow to San Francisco. I don't think it's a Super Bowl hangover. I just think they got injuries, and I think teams have caught up to Sean Payton.
All right, first of all, go to the kiosk today when you get off the air. Put a few shekels down for me. I think the Rams beat the 49ers. Put a couple of shekels down, and we'll have a beer over it down at Ocean City in the summer,
all right?
The Rams are going to beat the 49ers because they're going to have a trouble figuring out life after Kyle Juszczyk. You watch.
All right.
So I've actually got Seattle 5, Green Bay 4, New Orleans at 3, only because I'm not a total believer yet in Bridgewater. I think Peyton's done a really good job. I got the Eagles at number 2, and I got the San Francisco 49ers at number 1.
Yeah. Wow. Boy, they did come out of nowhere. The last thing, you know, the 49ers looking good again. Boy, but of course...
Well, they lead the NFC in sacks, and they lead the NFC in takeaways. So defensively, you know, they're still pretty good.
Yeah, their defensive lines, all number 1 picks. They're all defensive line.
Yep.
So, I mean, eventually you better get good.
That many high draft picks, for sure.
Yeah. But, I see what you did with the Eagles. And I said earlier in the show, Sal, how I think in really big games at crunch time, I think the Eagles play their best. I expect that to happen tomorrow.
Yes. You know, they're a good road team. Paul Domowicz on Philly.com has an interesting interview with Joe Banner. The Eagles' former team president, that I thought was very good. Banner had some really good insights about the Eagles going into Week 6. I think people should read that. That was very good. And did you see McClain's piece on Philly.com that DeSean Jackson has imported his old trainer from Southern California to get him back on track and get him back on the field? I thought those were two really interesting pieces, especially the piece about DeSean and asking his old trainer from Southern California to come back east and try to fix his problem with his stomach pulp. That's a big, big story. That was one of the big stories of the week, I thought.
Yeah. Well, Sal, I know you're more local, and we'll see if the Cowboys go up there and take care of business with Sam Darnold coming back.
I know. Poor Jets fan. Rooting for somebody's spleen now to get better. Unbelievable. That's what it's come down to.
Nothing like the Jets. Nothing like the Jets.
I feel bad for him. Darnold's a good kid, and I hope he's on the road to recovery. Yeah. You know, you want the Jets to be relevant for sure because you know, you got to have some kind of competition for the Patriots. They're just moonwalking to the division title.
They are really doing exactly that. So, all right, listen, Sal, we appreciate you taking the time very much, and stay safe there traveling, and we will talk to you next week, all right?
All right, Jeff. Thanks a lot, Pat and Joe. Have a good week.
All right, you too, Sal. There you go. Sal Palantonio joining us on This Week in Pro Football.
Presented by First Bank. And that's an interesting discussion. NFC is really wide open, but I think we're all leaning towards, I guess, liking Philadelphia. We're going to do that in a few minutes, but Sal certainly, I think, likes him tomorrow.
Sal likes him. He's always had faith in their ability to get things done this season in particular. And, I think that he was genuinely taken aback by the fact that the Rams did not make your top five.
I know.
It's pretty shocking.
I know. It is shocking, isn't it? But just being realistic, that's all.
Let's go to Mitch next in East Windsor on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good morning, Mitch.
How's it going, guys?
All right, Mitch.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. We're here, pal.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hope everything's good.
Likewise.
I think it's a tough game for the Eagles, though. The Vikings, they have since, besides Cook being a great running back, they have two good wide receivers. And it's amazing that they're not in the first place. Just like the other team, the Rams, they have three good wide receivers, and they're barely holding. They're in third place.
Yeah, no,
so I don't know how you can explain. These two teams having such great wide receivers, they're kind of up short so far this season.
Well,
I mean,
offensive lines have been rough, right? The Rams' offensive line hasn't been
the best. Exactly right.
Minnesota's line has been bad.
Offensive line, and it's mainly a lot of injuries, Mitch. And we were talking about it earlier in the show. You can't fake a good offensive line. Can't do it.
No way.
You know?
Yeah, no. When it comes draft time, I'm not looking at the offensive line. I couldn't name two, and I couldn't know what. I don't even know what they look like. You always look at the quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs. But it's not like in baseball, it's an offensive team people look out for. But I think it'd be a tough. If they can win this game, I think they're looking pretty good for the following two games. Rams and Minnesota, they have a lot of work to do if they don't win this weekend. Two good games, yeah. I know the Viking game and also the Rams and 49ers.
Mitch, you want to crack at a trivia question here?
Yeah, why don't you do that? Thanks for mentioning that, Joey. Mitch, take a shot at one of my questions here.
All right, I'll take a shot. I'll use a lighter bat.
Presented by Norris Sales, and I'll get to that. Well, there we go. I got it written down here somewhere, for God's sake. All right, just tell me the guy in NFL history with the most 100-yard career rushing games. In his career, the running back with the most career 100-yard run games.
I would say it's Walter Payton. But then I'm like the Dodgers, swing and miss every year on this time.
You did. You fouled that one off, Mitch, but a good effort
back
nonetheless.
Back to the backstop.
Yeah, but it was close. He's only one behind. He's one behind in that thing. But, I don't know, Joey, if that the birds. Well, then let's do we'll do the Eagle prediction when we get back here.
Okay.
We will do that. And then I just want to finish up talking about that that quarterback business again. And, Sal's point was you still got to pay him. That's all. And he used Dak Prescott as an example. I just want to get your opinion on a couple others.
Well, I thought it was really interesting, too, when Sal was talking about Dak and the marketing potential. Jerry Jones views it the other way, is that you're getting all of these marketing opportunities because you're the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, and therefore you don't need it in your contract. It's going to be interesting to see how that works out and how those two things kind of justify and rectify against each other here.
Yeah, I think... And by the way, if somebody wants to come out, we got a few minutes. Somebody wants to call us, 610-632-0975. Trivia winners receive a $25 gift card to Jenkins and Beach, your favorite local sports bar and crab house, every Monday night starting at 6 p.m. And believe me, Torty was just doing it. All you can eat, Chickie's wings and world-famous crab fries for just $19.99. ChickiesandPeach.com for details.
610-632-0975 is the phone number to join the conversation if you want to take a crack at that trivia question, win that gift certificate, and of course, weigh in with Pat Callahan and me, Joe Torty. Tyler Zuli is producing. We do have wide open phone lines, 610-632-0975. It's PC and JT on TWIPF.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Foreman on the rush. Keenum throws. He's picked. Patrick. Mason back the other way. Looking for a block. Gets it. Robinson for the touchdown. Xavier Rhodes on the bench, not out there on third down and 10. And Foles able to get away and throw. Pass is caught. Jeffrey, touchdown. The Eagles are 6 for 8 on third down. Flea flicker. Foles launches downfield. Both these quarterbacks came into this game with a chance to change the narrative of their careers, and Nick Foles has seized the opportunity. On third down and goal, Foles surveys, fires, touchdown, Alshon Jeffrey.
All right, Callahan and Torty back here this week in pro football. Little Do You Remember, presented by Park Bank, and that was not that long ago. I guess we all remember that, JT, huh?
Yeah, the 2017 NFC Championship game. Wow.
Philadelphia 38, Minnesota 7. You know, the Super Bowl obviously was the apex of everything Eagles football, but I would say that game was the most cathartic game in NFL history. You know what I mean? They barely beat Atlanta the week before. There were still a lot of doubts about whether they can pull this off without Wentz.
Of course.
And that game, I think the way they dispatched Minnesota really told Eagle fans that this was something incredibly special and that they could do what they did 2 weeks later.
Well, you had the peace of mind at halftime. You're like, you're going to the Super Bowl now, and unless there's some kind of biblical collapse and it didn't end up happening. How about some of that play calling that Doug Peterson had in that 2017 NFC Championship game? You only hope that the flea flickers and stuff like that are still in the playbook. Yeah. In the event that the Eagles are in a big spot.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. Bill in Allentown is next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Bill.
Yo, how you doing, guys?
All right,
great.
Billy.
How are you, Bill?
Yo, thanks for that segue there. That was a lot of fun listening to that all over again.
Sorry, Bill.
No, not at all. It's all good today. Listen, it happens. You know, that's the price for being a Vikings fan my whole life. But I don't think you guys are really being reasonable about how this game is going to unfold on Sunday or tomorrow. Actually, I know you're Eagle fans, and you're on an Eagle station. But the Vikings are much better than you're giving them credit for. Much better, and especially at home. Now, if this game was in Philadelphia, I'd say, well, you guys might have a better chance. But I don't know. I heard a stat on this station the other day. The last 15 trips to Minnesota, the Eagles have won 4 times. I don't know if that makes a difference, but it does. I mean, I think it does on the road, you know. And I do believe, too, if you want to go back to 2017, if that game was in Minnesota and not Philadelphia, I don't think it would have went that way. But whatever.
Here, Bill, I say to you, is since 2013, the Vikings are, this is their home record since 2013, 5-3, 5-3, 6-2, 5-3. And 17, they were 7-1. That's how they got to the conference championship game. And last year, 5-3. I wouldn't say 5-3 every year. I think a lot of teams could do that, right, Joey? I don't think there is a built-in home field advantage in that building for Minnesota.
Well, I believe we'll see a vice. I believe we'll see Peterson try to flea flicker because they're going to need to do something. You know, your receivers are not going to be able to really do much on that secondary. He's going to have to try all kinds of tricks. The offensive line, I mean, I think Jordan Howard's the best chance in this game, to be honest.
I agree. You and I agree there, Bill. Hey, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate you weighing in, man. I agree. I think that the Vikings defense is going to have a much easier time shutting down the pass game than the
run. Yeah, and I don't want to sell, to Bill's point, I'm not selling Minnesota short. I said it's going to be a fascinating game. It's going to be a very tough game. Vikings are a good team. But I think when you get down to crunch time tomorrow, JT, I'd rather have Wentz than Cousins, and I think that could be the difference in the game.
Bill might have been talking to me specifically because I don't think this game's going to be close. But let's go to Mark and Wayne next on The Fanatic. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys, great show. I think the key tomorrow is obviously the line play. But I think in the passing game, the Eagles need to use Goddard more and Miles Sanders. So I'm looking for Goddard to make like a Joe Jurevicius type play because they're going to blanket Wentz. And then the Eagles got to win the battle up front. It's going to be a tough game. But to me, going through the history of what a team does at home, those were different players over all those years.
Well, and a different stadium, really right? Like Minnesota got a new stadium, so it's not even the same building.
And I think the Eagles would be undefeated. The reason they're not is, in my opinion, is pretty much solely Doug's play calling. he screwed up the Atlanta and Detroit game. They could be 5-0, but that's water over the bridge.
That's funny, though, how I mentioned how that game was cathartic, that NFC title. Yeah. Man, here's Mark bringing up a Joe Jerovicious-type play. Some things will never leave the psyche of Philadelphia.
Can I take a shot at the running back?
Well, you know what? I think you know the answer, don't you, Mark? That's why you want to take a shot at it.
I don't know, but I'm going to take a guess, simply because he played 16 years and his whole career was in a 16-game season.
All right, I'm looking for the guy who holds the NFL record for most 100-yard rushing games. Your answer is?
Marcus Allen.
That is not correct.
Oh, man, good guess, Mark.
I thought Mark had it. I think the answer's kind of obvious. Do you know who it is?
I have a guess, but are you going to give it to somebody else?
We'll try one. Can we squeeze in one more here?
Of course we can. Let's go to EJ in Mount Airy next on The Fanatic. What's up, EJ?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? First of all, I wanted to ask a question. I just got finished watching. I don't know if it was the NFL's top 100 plays or the top 100 plays in the Super Bowl, and Philly Special came in 10th. I'm thinking if it was Super Bowl, even if it was NFL plays, I'm 51 years old, and I'm having a hard time coming up with 9 better plays than that. Don't you think it should have been a little bit higher in the rankings?
It's interesting. I watched the same thing we were talking about.
By the way, it's 100 plays of all time, not just Super Bowl.
Okay, well, even with that, I've been watching for a long time, and I would have to put it a little higher than 10. You would have to go, I mean, with that situation, though, everything that was on the line against Belichick, who's just almost impossible to fool, come on, man, it got to be a little bit higher than 10, don't you think?
Yeah, it was. I mean, you look at some of the plays that they put out there, right, and we don't have any.
Well, the catch, the catch was one of them.
The immaculate reception.
I mean, they were also NFL-defining plays. I wouldn't argue that. But I'm just thinking
it should be a little higher.
Yeah, I'd say, EJ, if it was 5, something like that, I would agree with you. I'd have no problem with that.
Yeah. Okay, another point I wanted to make, and, you know, I really don't feel like talking about the Cowboys, but I want to because it's a big situation. Don't you think that they kind of messed up by paying Zeke? I mean, I understand he's the best player, but modern Super Bowl history proves that you need a quarterback. I mean, you could name probably one running back for New England. I mean, let's be real. It's the quarterback that wins in the NFL, not the running back. You could plug any running back in and win the Super Bowl. Let's look at the most recent Super Bowl winners.
Well, you're right. They didn't have one. EJ, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. But they did have a strong ground game, right? LeGarrette Blount and James.
But EJ's point, though.
His point is correct.
Look, you need no other poster child but Todd Gurley. The Rams gave him a ton of money, and they are not going to get anything back. They paid him for past performance, and that's it. And that's what they're getting.
The Derek Jeter deal.
Yeah, they're getting past performance. And that's so I think EJ is right. We squeeze in one more and see if we can get this question answered, then we got to do the pick site.
All right, here we go. Mike and Del Rand's next on The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Yo, what's going on, guys?
Hey. All right, Mike. Mike, before you even get to your point, do you know this running back who holds the career record for most 100-yard rushing games?
Say it one more time. I'm sorry.
The career record for most 100-yard rushing games.
Which running back for the most 100 rushing? Yeah. Terrell Davis?
No, Terrell Davis. No. All right, Mike, go ahead, pal.
So a couple calls ago, the Eagles could be 5-0 if not for Doug P's play calling. Incorrect. The Eagles would be 5-0 if Nelson Aguilar caught 2 passes. That was all it is. 2 passes are why we're not 5-0.
Or J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Yeah.
Right.
Goddard, for that matter,
The Vikings' defense, they're good. The Vikings' weapons, they're good. The problem is, the heart of the team, Kirk Cousins, is soft. I don't believe in him. I agree with you 100%, but I'd rather take Carson in crunch time. That's why the Eagles are going to win this game in a blowout fashion.
Blowout.
31-10.
All right, 31-10, Mike. All right, there you go. Thanks for the phone call. Emmitt
Smith is correct.
Yeah, that would have been my guess. Plays that shouldn't be in the top 10, Minneapolis Miracle. I would argue the Ice Bowl doesn't really need to be there. There's a couple other plays in here. The Philly Special could be higher.
Yeah, Minneapolis Miracle, I would buy it, even though that was a shocking play. It really was. But I would say that the Philly Special should be above that. That's interesting. All right. I mean, the Eagle Prediction presented by M&T Bank. By the way, the Do You Remember was presented by Park Bank. M&T Bank has Eagle Prediction. You are leaning some sort of sizable win margin here, aren't you?
Yeah, big margin. I have the Eagles 27-17 on the road. 10-point victory for the Birds.
I think it's going to be more like 24-23, something like that. I think it's going to be a little bit closer, but I think I say Philadelphia prevails. I certainly hope they do. And now we get to the dreaded pick segment. We just can't stop it anymore, Joey. We got to do it. Presented by UGI. That's life, pal. Last week, I'm my usual 1-2, 8-7 on the year. Joey Bags, 1-2, 6-9 on the year. Come on, Bags. Tyler Zuli goes 3-0 and is still below 500.
Wow.
All right, we got to get it.
That'll happen when you have an 0-6 back to back.
I did him this up.
I insist we go at least 6-3 on the picks this week, combining. I'm still in first, so no. How do I do this? I do it by week, don't I?
Yeah, won the week.
Yeah, whoever won the week, and that's Tyler Zuli. Go ahead, Tyler.
All right, so you guys talked about this game earlier. I have no faith in Samford product, Devlin Hodges. I'm going with the Chargers. Giving the points, I think they do bounce back in a big way after a putrid performance against the Denver Broncos. I'm also going to go, it worked last week, I'm doing it again this week. I'm taking the biggest spread of the week. I will take the Baltimore Ravens giving the points against the Cincinnati Bengals, and I will take whoever's playing the Bengals every week from here until eternity. And then I know we talked about it. I know his ankle is not great, and teams may have started to figure it out, but I am taking the Kansas City Chiefs as a 4.5-point favorite. I think they have a big bounce back this week, and I think they win big. So I'll go with the Chargers, the Ravens, and the Chiefs this week.
All right. I think there's merit behind all those picks. I'm going next, Joey. Sorry.
Okay, no problem.
I like Seattle -2 at Cleveland. Now, I know this game might blow up, and I know a lot of people were talking about the Browns. You know, Paul Nolan certainly was, but I'm sorry. I don't see any maturity on that team at all. Whereas Seattle, no matter how they change their personnel, they always come ready to play. They're like the Eagles. I think Seattle's good enough to win this game by a field goal. I like San Francisco +3.5 against the Rams. If the Rams win, they're going to win by a field goal. I don't like this matchup. I know what Sal said about Juszczyk being missing, but the Rams are missing three other pieces. I just don't like the way their season's going. I think San Francisco comes in here and gets a win. And I'm going to go Dallas -7 at the Jets. This was a late selection I made here, Joe. Again, I know Sam Darnold is back, but come on, it's Sam Darnold. I mean, you know, it's not Sam Ball. It's Sam Darnold. So I just think Dallas coming off a horrendous performance on national TV last week. I think the Cowboys got to get that running game going. I know they're missing two offensive linemen, but they got to get that running game going. I think they win by 10.
All right, so you're going to love my first selection here as I am going into the garbage bowl as I just think that one of these teams has to be better than the other one. One of these teams is trying to lose and one of them isn't. I'm going to take Washington -3.5 against Miami. Can't believe I'm getting involved.
Yeah, Washington
in that.
Washington giving 3.5.
Yeah,
how about that?
I can't believe it. I'll be involved in that. I'm putting my money where my mouth is when it comes to Philadelphia, +3.5 points. I do think that this will be an outright Eagles win. I'm not even sure how close it'll be, but that's going to be kind of my out there play of the week. And then I'm going to the Monday night game where I do think Detroit is better than a lot of people give them credit for. I'm taking Detroit +4.5 on the road against Green Bay.
Three road teams by Joey T.
Yes. There you go. That's the way it's going.
All right. That's a good pick, Simon. I like all those picks, actually, probably more than I like mine. So, but I don't know about putting any kind of money on Washington.
On Washington.
Yeah.
So you said 6-3 is what we have to do.
Yeah, I think so.
There you go.
All right. We somehow managed to pick 9 different games. It's filling up here. It's filling up at the sportsbook, Joe. Everybody waited for your picks, and they are now standing in line waiting to get to a window.
Yeah, you saw the charge ahead, so that means that I'd better get out of here very quickly. So Tyler Zuli, thank you very much. All of our guests, by the way, Paul Nolan, Gary Cobb, Jim McCormick, Sal Powell, Antonio, thank you very much for joining us. And Pat, we'll try harder next week.
We are going to try, and we'll be right in the middle of it. Next week is Dallas, right?
Yes.
Next week is Dallas, so we expect the phones to fill up, and that's going to be a lot to talk about going into that Sunday night football game in Dallas next week.
Thanks to Mike Von Floto and everybody at 97.5. The Fanatic made this broadcast possible, including Tyler Zuli, for my partner Pat Callahan. Joe Torti saying so long.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.